Welcome to Break the Rules with Dr. Lauren Lax, a podcast dedicated to quieting the noise in the health, food, and fitness world. Dr. Lauren is a leading nutritionist, therapist, and functional medicine practitioner on a mission to help others thrive in their own lives, mind, body, and soul. And now, your host, Dr. Lauren Lax.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Break the Rules podcast, where we talk about quieting the noise and the health, food, fitness, and mindset world. And today I am so honored to have Lauren Zander in the house, who is a professional life coach, but so much more than that as well. And Lauren, if you could just introduce yourself to our audience and give us a little bit of your background and what you brought you to doing what you are doing today.
So, big long question the older I get, right?
Yeah.
It's getting longer.
More history.
Wow. So basically I started my own life coaching business when there weren't life coaches, like no one knew what it was. Mm-hmm. And that was in the late 90s, around 1998. So now I have been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I launched an executive life coaching education company in 2005, 2006. And what I've done is we've taught in over 30 different universities. I developed the Handel method, which is basically a way with tools to design your life, understand yourself, come up with language to really be able to be in charge of your life in ways that I discovered most people were not. And that's been my life's work. And then the good news is that it works. And we go into corporate, we have the most fun, right? There's about 60 employees that work for Handel Group, and we go into companies, we work with individuals, and we teach. And we even go into foster care. We're bleeding hearts, we're giving it away, and we're doing really good work on people being true to themselves by figuring out what they most want in their lives and then dealing with that inner dialogue and the way you take actions and don't take actions. That's pretty much where I start.
That's the starting place I think we should all start at, that we don't always start at. And I just want to know, like, how did you stumble into coaching and developing such methods that maybe didn't like exist formally from perspective?
So I studied environmental science at George Washington University. So I was one of those very annoying Save the Planet girls. I was early to that party. So that was in the 80s, got in my own. Okay. Right. So 80s and early 90s, I was an environmentalist. And I got my degree and got my first job at the United Nations Global Environment Facility. And I was so proud of myself. Except guess what? I hated the job. I didn't actually like the work.
The GIB.
Oopsie daisy, like so bad. It was sad. And actually, so I was like 22 years old and miserable, and figured out I was miserable and that I had gone the wrong direction. And then I make this joke, but it wasn't that funny when I figured it out. But the joke was, save the trees, kill the people. Right? The people were killing my trees, right? Like I hated humanity. Humanity was messing up everything. And I wanted to save the tree. And then what I figured out is that the trees are fine. Like it's that the people can't see the trees, that the people aren't like, oh my God, I'm working on the whole wrong thing. And so in my early 20s, I shifted into self-help, right? And got that it was my job or the great wild west, actually, that no one was doing the right kind of work on the inside with individuals. Not that there wasn't yoga and meditation, like there was plenty of work trying to get out there. But in regards to like, where was it in education? Where were people teaching the right things anywhere? I was like, oh my God, there's like a wild west. And so in my 20s, that's where I left environmentalism and went into what ultimately became the coaching business.
Wow. And then what did that look like even starting? Was it just like, hey, you on the street, I want to help you out? Or
no. So I went to work for the only company that I knew was doing self-help and transformational work. I worked there for 7 years. I left pretty disgruntled, right? Mm-hmm. I wasn't that happy. I figured out it wasn't what I thought. I would rather change one person forever than think I was changing thousands of people and hardly changing them, right? Mm-hmm. So what happened was I loved what I learned from the company and a lot of what its agenda was, but I really didn't think that, you know, the person wasn't losing weight. They were on their third divorce now. So I really judged whether self-help was working by how a person was living honestly or not, or, you know, like really fulfilling on life and inventing what they were doing with their whole lives versus that they still weren't talking to their mother. They never dealt with this. They still were eating that. They were smoking this, right? So I really left a business and then started my own business when I was 28, right? And I'm 48 now. I'd rather help one person and really figure out how to make real change and understand why it's so hard to change or what seems to be the problem with change. And that's when I started studying, working one-on-one, and built my own practice. And then develop the method. And then that's when I figured out I better do something much bigger with it.
Yeah.
Like much bigger, much bigger.
And so how many years into that were you on your own? And then you really like brought on other people into your company?
So 5 years. I did 5 years of wildly, like really successful. I was sitting in my t-shirt, coaching over the phone, and, you know, rocking. My husband was blown away that, like, I used to be poor and now I could make money, right? Like, mm-hmm. He had no idea. He jokes that he couldn't believe, you know, how well he scored, because he definitely thought he got someone he'd be paying for the rest of his life and his children, right? And that I ended up being like someone who was successful and a businesswoman and could coach in businesses and could end up teaching classes at Stanford Business School. Like, he was like, he did not know he married this girl. It all flipped.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you're obviously doing what you were meant to be doing. So yes. Cool to see you, a woman
Thank
in her
you.
Power. And, Thank you. I guess, like, for some context, before we get into your methodology, which I really want to hear more about, would uh-huh. be like kind of the process of change and what you have found and your work as a coach and kind of talking through. We have, you know, the standard pre-contemplation, contemplation, all of that. If you want to educate our audience a little bit on what you see in practice as we talk some about people that come to you are wanting to make a change in their lives or in a place uh-huh. maybe of feeling stuck.
Yeah. So at this point in my career, I work with the biggest dreamers running huge dreams that will change the world, that are changing the world. Like, I really am coaching someone who has potential to be president. No kidding, mm-hmm. right? Right. Like, so I'm now that I'm older, the good news with being older is I've developed credentials and a portfolio to be coaching the people who can change the world, right? But if you go, how did you get there, right? And so the change I'm helping them make is being able to be a dreamer and create the actions and being true to those actions from the deepest place in their soul and fulfilling on a mission for humanity, for life at the greatest level of your imagination, okay? But to every single individual has dreams they've never really articulated and faced.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I go, in order to even sit in my class, I'm going to break life out into 12 different areas. And I expect a high level dream from you in each of the 12 areas, like your actual fulfillment of your life. Like, I'm going to start making you design. What is the fulfillment of your spiritual life? What is the fulfillment of your love life? What is the fulfillment of your sex life, right? And not what's your mother's desire for your sex life,
mm-hmm.
right? No. I'm sorry. We need to get your mother out of the bedroom. Uh-huh. Oh my God, you don't believe in religion that way? Let's get religion out of your bedroom. We need to relocate everything into being a blank slate for you to fulfill on your own life. You'd be amazed that when I give that to a 15-year-old, it's a mirror. It's like giving them a glass of water. Like, hey, you thirsty? Right? Mm-hmm. They totally get it, but no one's asking for that. Mm-hmm. Right? And then, so I can do it for a 15-year-old or I can do it to a 35-year-old that just woke up from a divorce, you know, like, oh my God, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And I have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And my, right. So it doesn't matter when you pick up the pen. It matters that you understand you're the author of your life, and wherever you got yourself, that was you. And wherever you're going, that's going to be you. And so if you like what I just said and you don't want to smack me and go, no, it was my mommy. No, it's culture. No, it's the Me Too movement. No, it's like, you know, I don't want to blame one thing. The world is the state of the world is the way the world is. And then what are you going to do about your little world and how to make it big and what you want in your life? So that's where I start. Dream. Mm-hmm. Separate your dreams, because the other thing people do is they have like two areas of their life they're happy in, like really happy in. And then they kind of blow off the other areas and blame the two that they have to stay working on, so they don't have to face their relationship with their family, their relationship with their sex life, right? They have two kids, right? Right. They're married. Right? So the sex life is, so I eat too much. So I'm not happy here. So like, but I have a great job and my kids love me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So I stop the action and get a person to start to face designing their whole life.
Yeah. All areas.
All areas.
12 areas. That's a, what areas are those specifically?
Absolutely happy to tell you. So the first one is your relationship to yourself. This is where you hang out with, like, do you talk nice to yourself? Do you like yourself? Your moment to moment relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then there's your body, which has your health, weight, and appearance. There's your love life, dating, marriage, sex, and romance. Spirituality, however you define it. Career, which is your business, work, and or school life, depending on how old you are. Money, earning, saving, and money management, right? That you're living into the right mm-hmm. relationship to money. Time. Your relationship to time, your to-dos, your time management skills. Your home, where you live, your space. How do you feel about your space? How are you in love with how you hold your space, live, blah, blah, blah. Family. This is your immediate and extended family and parenting. Friends, old and new. Fun and adventure. This is your time to really enjoy yourself weekly, weekends, over your lifetime. And I also put learning in here. People forget how much learning enhances their lives. So I separate it out with fun and adventure and learning.
Hmm.
And then the final area is community and contribution, participation in the world at large, your community, however you play in the world, and giving back.
Yes. Oh, all so necessary. I love that.
So then the next thing after you dream is then I make you rate your current life against that dream, right? So if that's your dream, how are you, like, what do you, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you? You gave yourself a 6, right? You haven't gotten laid in 5 months and you broke up with that boyfriend and he broke your heart and now you don't know if you ever want to go out again. And you also gained 10 pounds, right? So you're miserable and you're eating and you're unhappy with both, but you're still mad at that guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So now, so you take your dream and then you would tell the truth, which is I'm a 4 because I don't believe I'm going to find the love of my life. Like you literally want the love of your life, but you have to face that you're devastated and messed up from the last relationship, which then gives you the right work that needs to get done, which goes into what we're really working on, which is what do we need to do to achieve that dream of yours? We have to face where you've had history problems, that inner dialogue of your, like, what's going on that you're a 4? Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's the next part of the book. You know, understand? Then the next part of the book goes, why aren't you where you wish you were? And then you have, then there's real reasons that are kind of more like wiring and the relationship you have to yourself or the relationship you have to that inner dialogue, where if I get a person to start making the right promises, my joke is I teach people where the promise land is. It's where you keep promises to yourself, right? Where you're being true to that dream, right? You're going to the gym. You're eating right. You're going out with your girlfriends and you're introducing yourself to at least 2 people when you're out. So you're social and dating out and about, right? You want a new job. You want to go learn something new. You're actually not just talking about learning French. You're listening to the tape in the car. Right. Like it's, you have no, people don't realize that change is all like, is simple action change. Like you have to change your actions, right? Change really comes from doing something differently, right? That's not that tricky. I know who owns your body. So what happens is I break into an individual, I get them to break into themselves, I get them to hear their own language, and I get them to take over the narrative, and I get the narrative to start to be true to the dreams and teaching integrity, personal integrity, an ability to keep promises to what matters most to you. And that muscle is the one that people really suck at. Unless you're good at it in one area, not in another, but so what? It's the area you're not good at it that really matters.
Right.
And then there really are things like haunting memories, you know, your parents' terrible marriage, things you've never, and then there's deeper, harder work that also needs to get done to change the quality of your happiness and the way you perceive life. And so that's, you know, the other chapters.
Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot. Very deep, very real, very important. Needs to all get done.
Yeah.
As fast, it needs to all get done.
Well, so, and you wrote a book and that I love the title. Maybe It's You, Cut the Crap, Face Your Fears, Love Your Life. Very yes. Just like, this is what it is. Tell it like it is. And I talk a ton to my clients about our inner mean girls that we all have. We all have an inner critic. Sometimes we're the hardest on ourselves. And sometimes I think we're the ones that hold us back from making the changes we want to make, whether it is a weight issue, whether it's I want to succeed more in my business, or whether it is I want to do actually what I'm called to do and maybe leave right. What I'm doing.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about like this book and then kind of some of the takeaways about yeah. Cutting the crap, facing your fears and loving your life. What does that really
yeah.
mean?
So I would say that I go much deeper into different nuances of your inner dialogue. Right. So inner critic doesn't even remotely cut how much I think you need to go in and find, you know, different voices that are running you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have lineage and your parents' traits. So in the method, every trait your parent has, if your father's stubborn, your mother is a vanity, you know, crazy person, mm-hmm. right? In the book, what happens is I go, you're an apple off that tree, and everything your parents did or didn't, like everything that came from your lineage, right, and your culture is, you know, you got the plague, right? Whatever they have, you have it, right? Which, and evolution really is evolving that, right? Don't poop in the river, right? That'll kill everybody, right? So figure out what that is so you can evolve. Right. So the traits that your parents have, you have. And so if your father was an addict, right, it isn't, are you an addict? It's, are you an addict or where are you an addict and where are you an enabler? Right. Like there's some basic, I can't get you out of the prisons we're all in because humanity has its very specific spiritual plagues. Right. Mm-hmm. And so to figure out what came in with your parents is to figure out, just like you would figure out your DNA from your parents and their health, you would go, oh, my father was a diabetic. I better manage this, right? Well, not just your father's diabetes, your father's wandering, cheating eyes. Yeah, you got those too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when the interesting part is I make your history and your parents' history critical to you understanding yourself and understanding where you got much of the positive and negative things that are happening in your life right now. And the quicker you can language that, catch it and understand that, you know, so for example, my mother really is vain, like she's wildly vain, right? So my joke about my mother is you can judge a book by its cover, according to my mother. Skinnier is better, right? It just is. And nice, Marsha. And you are as good as you look. Like there really is, like that woman is 82 years old and wears lipstick to walk the dog in New York City at 11 at night.
Yeah.
Why? Like, why, mommy? Right. And so if you understood her mommy, you would understand, you know, the amount, like, that was what they did, those women in to live with the amount of pain they lived with. Right. Like, so there's a, right. There's a deep story there that deserves love, compassion, empathy, forgiveness. But boy, oh boy, it wears lipstick at 11 at night, right? Like, and if you go, Lauren, do you have to wear lipstick? And I'm like, I have done everything not to wear lipstick, right? At 11, right? Everything. But is like lipstick a theme in my life? Like caring what I look like a theme in my life? I'm like, it's so dominating. It's hysterical, right? I'm not going to get out of being my mother's child. I'm going to understand my mother so that I can take over the narrative. Right. So the depth of going into your inner dialogue has to understand where you came from. And I even care about fear. Right. So I have a voice. So I have a variety of voices I make you figure out you have that are stopping you from fulfilling on your dream. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. That is so okay. True. Yeah.
So I make you understand that deeper and deeper. By the time you're done, if you actually do all the homework in the book, you will have a PhD. On understanding your inner dialogue and being able to know it was my mother just talking. It was, you know, the Italian woman. It was like you literally will have a much better sense of humor so that you can drive the boat.
Right. Yeah. Just awareness too.
Yeah. And also, I really do think that if you read the book and you find out, you will understand that the other secret sauce besides learning how to keep a promise to yourself is a sense of humor. Like, I am making fun of the dark side in all of us through me, through my clients, in a way that it's like, don't hate yourself, love what it is to be human. But for God's sakes, understand we have a dark side, right? Let me see. Do I want to go for a run or do I want to tell myself I'll run later and not run later and blame my kids when they get home? Let me see. Like, there's no one home. I have a half hour off and I'm going to talk myself into not running.
Right.
When I scheduled it. Right. Yeah. And I'm literally going to figure out how to not run and say, I'm going to run later right now. So I don't have to deal because I don't want to. Right. And right. So do you understand? Like that is the voice to be trailing. That's the dark side that you need a sense of humor with. Right. So one of the jokes I make, which is true, is this: I used to wake up before my alarm clock went off to explain I was exhausted and couldn't go on a run. I'll do it later.
Right. Oh, all the things. So that's like cutting the crap. So we move from that to awareness. We've got now facing the fears in your book, like, what does that really mean to face your fears? Just to that humor, I guess, is a great way of doing that.
Well, the facing the fear is the reason we don't dream. One premise I can give you for the reason you don't dream is because if you came up with your dream, then you'd have to do it. And then what would you have to face? You'd have to face your fear of not succeeding. You'd have to face your fear of, I don't know how to get there. You'd have to fit. Like, do you understand? The minute you come up with a big dream that you're really into, well, like the next 2 seconds, guess who shows up? Every last fear in town. Every last, just like everything that's screaming, I can't. The reason not to dream is that you never have to experience full fear.
What would you say to the overdreamer? I dream a ton. I dream too much. Vision.
That will never be your problem.
Okay. Maybe I do face fears.
Right. Dreaming and then willing to fulfill on that dream always is eating fear for breakfast. Or you don't have that many fears, in which case have a bigger dream. Like, I think fear is a good indicator of at risk and really living on the edge of something. Right? Like, I don't think fear is a bad indicator unless it's, you know, midnight and you hear noises in your house, right? Like there's, but besides the one that protects you
right
from imminent actual danger, right? We are inventing fears. If I tell this to this person, she won't like me anymore. If I ask for the raise, I could get, right? Like the most fears are us thinking we know other people. And then we're wiping on them that they don't see us, right? We're giving people our fears, right? So fear is a great indicator. It tells you how to have courage, right? It creates courage. Mm-hmm. And what to have courage about. Dreams set up you to have your fears. And then the next thing that really matters that I teach in the book is how to keep a promise to yourself, right? So I believe I teach promises and consequences, right? So for every promise that you're unlikely to keep, there's many promises people will totally keep, right? Like yeah. They don't even need a promise, right? I need a promise to go get a manicure because I like to bite my nails. If I get a manicure every 4 days, isn't that disgusting? I need one every 4 to 5 days until I grow my nails out, which takes about 6 weeks. And then that's it. And then I'm good if I go once a week. But the minute I'm traveling, I blow off getting my nails done. Within 2 weeks of that moment, I'm down to chewing my little fingers off. Okay. I'm almost 50. Think I'm going to stop doing this? So there's like built-in programs. And then I always, if I never want to get my nails down to a nub, I have to get a manicure every week.
Right.
I need a promise and a consequence because that is the first thing I will blow off. Right. Yes. So that's knowing myself.
Right.
That's even understanding how to do a workaround with integrity, given my inclination to never have integrity with my nails.
Mm-hmm.
You hear my sense of humor?
Right.
When am I expecting it to go away? Never. Right? So when doesn't the person who eats 5 cookies, not just half of 1 cookie? So if you're a person who can eat a half a cookie, rock on. You get a half a cookie. If you're a person that doesn't know how to eat a half a cookie and you want to learn, put in a consequence. Mm-hmm. What's a consequence? You can have a half a cookie every night. If you overeat half a cookie, right? You eat more than a half a cookie, you lose your cookies for 2 weeks, right? That'll teach the cookie monster to have integrity with half a cookie.
Right.
So that it's almost that simple. Mm. But you'd be amazed at that the person's mad at their husband. They eat the cookies, right? And they have blame and structures and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all inner dialogue, not knowing itself about its relationship to cookies and that it'll blame anyone to get one, right? If every time you got mad at your husband, you had to eat celery, right? Oh, I don't know if you'd be pouting the same way, would you?
Right. I don't mind it.
So when I go, there's a dark side to humans. I think we're hiding. Mm-hmm. I think we're fear-based. I think our vices run a lot of the show wherever they do. And That's what's stopping us from fulfilling on our dreams. And then if you don't have a dream or don't believe in the dream, you can still stay eating the cookie.
Right. Wow. Finding that slight edge for yourself too, because everyone's got a different vice or a different, just comes from a unique background. And what?
Completely interesting. I have never met two of the same.
Right. Well, tell me this. So since I work a ton in the health field and a lot of the listeners are in the health space.
Yeah.
What is the efficacy of what you do, this kind of work? How does it compare to just, you know, following a protocol or getting a protocol of EXYZ or just take these supplements to heal your gut, which can be helpful maybe from a physical standpoint, but the difference in understanding yourself and customizing those plans, perhaps, like there really is no one size fits all. There's no one Whole30 that's going to work for everyone or whatever it is that the diet program you're following or the health program you're following.
Yeah. So this is really for the person who might really understand how come they're successful in one area of their life, but doesn't know how to take, so that you may be incredibly good at business and integrity with business, but you can't stay faithful in a relationship or even pick the right person in a relationship. You can pick business partners, but you can't pick lovers. Right. And you don't understand why there's some form of corruption and you keep failing in an area you wish was better.
Right.
So this is like going under the hood where there's cavities and you can't get to them yourself. You need a dentist. Right. So It's that, right? And that you're hunting for deep insights into your lineage and the way humans can't get out of their own way and why. And that is all I'm solving for. And I promise this solves for that.
Right.
It's for the areas that are not. And then for the areas that are working, in all likelihood, you could be dreaming even bigger.
Right.
Right. And then getting them all to work together, the money dream, with the love dream, with the travel dream, with the, like getting yourself to live in a vision of, across all areas of life is just, you know, it will change your actions. It mm-hmm. can't help but change your actions. If you're not dreaming about going to Italy, I promise you're not planning a trip to Italy.
So true. Well, Lauren, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show, and I could just talk to you all day long.
Yes.
About
thank
this
you.
Stuff. Where thank can we you. Find out more about your work? And obviously your book is probably on Amazon.
Yep. And you can find it in Barnes and Noble. It just came out in paperback.
Yay.
Yay. And it's great. It's great. We are at the Handel Group, H-A-N-D-E-L Group, GRLUP.com. And we have fun things on that. I mean, I've had this, you know, we really enjoy making free things available. And we have lots of videos, and we just have everything you could possibly want, plus classes, plus different price points, plus articles for the last 15 years, right? So so go to our website is the right place. Sign up for our newsletter. I literally am inventing new method, you know, and putting it in my newsletter and taking you on rides, because I always want to learn if I can talk new talk and giving it to my audience. And so that's, you know, so I just, you know, so there's constantly interesting new material that I promise you haven't heard before.
Very cool.
Yes. Thanks for asking.
Yes. We'll definitely be staying in touch. I'll put your book in the show notes as well, link to that and your website. So.
Excellent. Excellent. Great. And if you'd rather hear me talking versus reading, I inner you. Is a program that has 10 sessions. It's really not expensive. 10 sessions with me explaining everything, and it lays out the homework, and it's all digital. And there's a community and free coaching if you buy in. You can reel my coaches. So it's an excellent deal.
Yeah.
That would be the other thing I would pitch.
Definitely. Well, Lauren, thank you so much. And we will be in touch.
Thank you.
Okay.
And thank you for everything you're doing to really get the word out on well-being. It's really awesome.
Thank you. Sisters in crime here.
Come on!